Post-Harlan Monologics. Number 00019. Recorded on February 15, 2023. Production location, Post. Harlan. Texas. Bag of Dicks. Bag of Dicks. Chapter 19.
The opinions of Maverick 88 are not necessarily the opinions of Maverick 88. Sensitive content warning. Viewer discretion is advised.
Now, buckle up. You are on the runaway train of thought. Ladies and gentlemen, without any further ado, the one, the only, Maverick 88.
I guess it's about time that I bring up the topic of Maverick 88. Right? Maverick 88 is actually a shotgun. It's a model of a shotgun made by a company called Mossberg, right? Technically speaking, O.F. Mossberg and Sons. They're actually a Connecticut company that was established in 1919. Who since 1989 has done the vast majority of their manufacturing here in Texas. I regard it as a Texas company. I pretty much have always thought of it as such. They have a manufacturing operation down on the border by the Rio Grande in a place called Eagle Pass, Texas, way down south, right? Past San Antonio. And they are the manufacturer of the Maverick 88 shotgun, right? Maverick 88 shotgun is called a bottom shelf type of shotgun. It ain't nothing fancy. It's kind of like a cheap, rickety 12 gauge. Mine is a security one. That's the short barrel, 18 and a half inch barrel, comparable to like a sawed off, right? It's like the legal limit for shortness of barrel length on the manufactured shotguns. And they have two other varieties, which are the full-on hunter length barrel variations, which I'm not familiar with. I've never shot either of the two of those in that. But really, it's a switch out of the barrel is all it is. Same damn gun, just switch out the barrel. In fact, you could switch out with the Mossberg 500. They're virtually the same rifle. What I understand, like the trigger mechanism is different from one to the other, but the rest of everything is the same, right? So you're going to pay an extra like $300 for a modified trigger mechanism with a different kind of safety, I think, is what's built into it. It might be a little bit more stable, like a little less rickety. It might be a little heavier and solid. I don't know. But I know that like the barrel's interchangeable. A lot of the parts, all the stocks, all that shit, whatever grips you want to put on, it's all interchangeable with the Maverick 88. Maverick 88 is cheap. I got mine. What the hell was it, like $200 or something like that? Not a lot of money. Probably a little bit more now with all this fucking inflation and shit these past couple of years. But it's a very low-end shotgun, but very reliable. It works great. It's not a piece of shit. It's just not fancy, you know? It's polymer and steel. It's not wooden, you know, like a classic traditional shotgun, tends to be, I mean, I have a Remington shotgun that's just gorgeous, right? It's all wooden furniture and all that, but my security gun, right, this little short guy, this quick grab them and, you know, deal your intruders shotgun, the 12 gauge Maverick 88, all right? So yeah, I take my online presence from this shotgun, right? Maverick 88. Now the 88, I don't know what the hell Mossberg meant by it. I'm not really sure what the 88, where that comes from. I ought to know, but I don't. It may have been released or modeled or designed in 88 and then produced when they moved their operations down here to Texas in 89. But I'm not positive about that, but I am positive about that. The year 1988 is the year I got sober. It's a big year in my life, right? I probably mentioned it before. I've been clean and sober since then. You know, it's been a long fucking time, but the big transitional year in my life was 1988. And so that's where I relate to the 88. Maverick, on the other hand, and no different, I completely relate to it. In fact, I'll give you a dictionary definition of Maverick, and for those of you who know me, you will know immediately that, yeah, that suits the dude, right? Maverick, a person who shows independence of thought and action, especially by refusing to adhere to the policies of a group to which that person belongs. If that ain't me, what is, right? A secondary definition, an unbranded range animal, especially a calf that has become separated from its mother, traditionally considered the property of the first person who brands it, right? But I guess that was probably the original definition of it, and then it got personified into definition number one, a person who shows independence of thought and action, especially by refusing to adhere to the policies of a group to which that person belongs. Of course, I was voted class rebel, you know, my senior high class. They actually made a trophy for me, some kind of award or a plaque or something, which I never laid hands on because I was a rebel and I refused to go to their frickin' senior banquet, right? But you know, I've always been this kind of guy, independent of spirit, right? Independent of thought and action, refusing to adhere to policies of a group. I've always been on the periphery at best, you know, never really at the heart of the matter as far as society is concerned. Something of an outlaw, but not quite an outlaw. It really defines me to a T. Now, these things, they go with a little thought. I don't just assume a name without really thinking it through. But now I'm going to show you, or have shown you now, that what that means to me, right? There's your dictionary definition of Maverick coupled with the number 88, and at the same time it just so happens to be a Mossberg shotgun, one of which I own, right? The security variety. So that's the deal with Maverick 88, right? So I got mine in it was about 10, 12 years ago. I don't remember exactly what year it was. I've had it all this time since, and I've shot it up a bunch. And I like it. I like it. It's not the only shotgun I have, but I sure enough have it. And I bought it at Academy Sports, right? Academy Sports is another Texas institution. It's a sporting good company all over the state, originally centered out of San Antonio, but has since somewhere along the way moved its operations over to a city called Katy, Texas, which is outside of Houston, right? So everything down south, but I mean, the chains have spread up. They're all over the place up here. You know, there's an Academy in every town, every other town in DFW. You can never not find one. And that's where I go for a lot of my firearms gear, right? Now, not every gun I buy comes from there. Not every accessory or component comes from there, but a lot of times it is the case, right? The good service, knowledgeable people working behind the counter, and they do FFL transfers. That's federal firearms licensing, dealer to dealer. You could buy things online and have it shipped to Academy. They'll call you, tell you it's in. You go pick it up, inspect it, accept it, fill out the paperwork, show them your Texas state carry license. You're in and out of there in 10 minutes with a gun, right? Everything legit, everything legal. So they, you know, and then they sell. You know, they sell shotguns and rifles of every kind and handguns, revolvers and pistols. They got ammo. They used to carry some lines of reloading, ammo reloading supplies. They still do, but you know, since 2020, everything kind of got scarce. I don't really look to them as a resource for that anymore. And I've not really been active in that hobby for the past 5 or 6 months. Got to get back with it, but it's a great store, you know. I also get fishing gear over there, and I'm a kayak fisherman, right? We've got two large lakes east of Dallas over here. And one of my hobbies is to grab a kayak and go out there and go fishing for catfish, bass, crappie. Paddle around, get sunburnt, you know, it's a good day. Good day, especially if you catch a few of them. You know, you catch 2, 3, 4 catfish, you got dinner. And fresh out the lake, it's really good, you know. Now, I used to get my kayak gear, well, not just at Academy Sports, but there's a competitor up here. It's actually not a Texas company. It's a Pennsylvania company, as the case is. It's called Dick's Sporting Goods, right? Dick's. And they sell kayak stuff and kayaks, kayak accessories, fishing stuff. I would shop there, too, back in the day. And they also had, you know, the hunting section with all kinds of firearm stuff, but they got a little particular following one of these high school shootings back in 2018 where they made this big statement that they're no longer going to carry quote-unquote assault weapons and quote-unquote high-capacity magazines. They changed the minimum purchasing age that the store used to run by. They increased it. Yeah, you know, so they just kind of fell in with the wishy-washy politics of the moment. And my friends and I protested it. It's just like, fuck you, you know. When you're a shooter, when you're a gun guy, you don't give an inch. You don't give an inch to these idiots, you know. Anybody who's going to go up and out and shoot a school, they're not the driving force and firearms in this country. They're the exception, and there's got to be better ways of addressing that situation than just continuing to slap quote-unquote gun control laws on everything. I don't mean to get into that whole mix, but that's the attitude here, you know. That's the attitude here. So a Pennsylvania company operating in Texas wants to go wishy-washy like that. They can kiss my ass, and they've been kissing my ass since 2018. I've not been back there since that happened. I will go out of my way to go to Academy Sporting Goods, right? And I do. And I do. So, you know, well, we have a saying down here, F-A-F-O, fuck around and find out, right? So they fucked around and they found out. At least as far as I'm concerned and my friends are concerned and my family's concerned, we don't go there. We all go to Academy for any of these kind of needs. And fuck around, find out. You know, speaking of Texas, like, you know, in the laws down here, we got castle doctrine. Castle doctrine means that you are the king or queen of your domicile. Your domicile is your household or any vehicle you may be driving in. You have the right to defend yourself, even unto deadly force. In most cases, not every case, there are exceptions, and you have to kind of be down with the exceptions, but there's always a matter of force involved, and most of the time it can even be deadly force. So you don't want to like be a burglar in Texas. You don't want to be crawling into somebody's window because, and I know this to be a fact, and I know how this all plays out. Ex of mine had family in San Antonio. We used to go down there and visit a couple of times a year, right? She had cousins down there, and one of the cousins was married to a guy who heard a little racket going on down the corridor one night, grabbed his shotgun, opened the door, turned on the light, and he saw some idiot climbing in through the window, right? from the yard. Ka-chook, ka-chook. Boom! And he gut shot the guy, right? Blew him right back out the window. The guy was scattered on the fucking lawn. And then he crawled to the curb of the street. And that's as far as he got before he died. All right, one shot from a 12-gauge shotgun. And he was dead. And the cops came by, looked at the scene, did their assessment, wrote up a little police report, and that was the end of that. The guy didn't even get hauled downtown, you know what I mean? So, well, good night, sir. You know, I'll have a restful night. You know, I had to get up in the morning and probably clean up some blood and shit like that, but that's it. It was that simple. The guy didn't spend years in litigation or anything like that. I don't think he ever even had a court appearance. You know, it was done. The cops saw what the cops saw. It was completely legitimate as far as Texas is concerned. And that was the end of the story. That was the end of the story. Castle Doctrine. Fuck around and find out. You know, don't mess with other people's shit. Not here in Texas. Not here in Texas. So, yeah. Dick's Sporting Goods fucked around and found out for a bunch of us shooters down here. I don't know if they've changed their ways. I doubt it. You know, I think companies, when they do shit like that, they've always wanted to do shit like that. You got certain people who are running the company that are kind of oriented in that direction. And it's the way it goes, you know, it's the way it goes. So, fuck them. Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, fuck them. If I was a basketball player, I wouldn't even go get my basketball player shit from them. It's just a matter of principle, you know, and we do the best we can by principle. Very difficult in this day and age, you know. You know, the corporate conglomerates, they just own everything, and it all dials back to like 5 or 10 corporations in the world, this whole global monopolistic empire. You know, it's hard to like pick and choose who you're going to purchase from and who you're not, because ultimately it's going to dial back to one of these fucking major monopoly companies anyhow. It's kind of sucks. Fucked up world. I just shop local, shop regional as much as you can. Better for everybody in the long run. Always was, always will be. But anyhow, that's my soapbox for the day. You know, speaking of dicks, right? I stumbled on something the other day. And you know, it's like I heard of it somewhere along the way, but I never really... Well, it's a prank, right? It's a prank. It's a prank candy called a bag of dicks. A bag of dicks. I'm trying to like go through all my indexes and databases inside my skull and like, where the fuck did I hear that? I know I heard that, but I stumbled on it. And this is not a Texas thing. You'd think it might would be, but it ain't. It's a New Mexico thing. It's Santa Fe, right? A little company in Santa Fe makes this gimmick candy called a bag of dicks. And you buy it and you give it to somebody as a gift or something like that. You know, it's not beyond my purview. Once upon a time when I was an anti-Christ motherfucker, I remember I threw a Christmas evil party. Literally, that's what I called it. And that's how far 180 I was then from what I am now. And the door prize is basically any girl that came in got a lighter that was in the shape of a dick, right? So it's within my old sophomoric humor, I suppose. Had I known about a bag of dicks back then, everybody would have probably got a bag of dicks. I wouldn't know what to do with that now, but it's apparently a thing, you know? Who knew? I swear I heard about it, but now I know for sure. I stumbled on it, and I looked it up, and there you go. You got fucking Dick's Sporting Goods, and now you got a bag of dicks, and no shortage of dicks in the world. Look at this. My shirt, right, what I'm wearing right now as I speak to you, is Dickies, right? Dickies work clothes. It's Williamson Dickey Manufacturing Company, established in Fort Worth, Texas, right down the street, right? 1922. Fort Worth is the FW in DFW. It's a part of Post Arlen, right? And just about every day of my stupid life, I am wearing a Dickies shirt. And half the days of my stupid life, Dickies socks. I believe some of my work outdoor wear
is manufactured by Dickies also. A vest, perhaps. Or I got like a little jacket. I'm not sure. One of those things, I believe, is. But, yeah. And for years, right? For years. But really, my everyday clothes, the way I dress on a daily basis, with very rare exception, is a short sleeve, button down, Dickies work shirt. Either going to be charcoal gray or black. I mean, I'm pretty plain Jane like that, pretty consistent. But, yeah, that's Dickies work clothes. Williamson Dickey Manufacturing Company out of Fort Worth. And over there in Fort Worth, they built up an arena where they do, like, concerts and shit like that now. I have not been to it yet. It's fairly new, a couple of years now, I think it's been in existence. They do the rodeo there. It's called Dickies Arena, right? So more dicks. Right? Dicks and Dickies. The Fort Worth Rodeo, big rodeo, one of the biggest rodeos in the country anymore. I've never been to it either. They used to do it in a smaller arena that they have right down there in the Stockyards area. And back behind there, they got the arena somewhere. Been to the Stockyards a couple of times. It's been a few years. Me and my wife went back there a couple of years ago. Cool little place. It's a little tourist trap. Couple of strips in the old part of Fort Worth. A lot of souvenir things. Everything is very Western and cowboy. They'll run cattle back and forth across the street a couple of times a day. You know, vendors, souvenir shops, restaurants, bars. Good stuff. It's fun. You know, you walk around there. Yeah, if you're from Texas, it's all, you know, you pay twice as much for anything that you buy there than you would anywhere else. You could buy cowboy hats and boots and hell, I just got, like, for example, one of my Christmas gifts from my wife was a set of Longhorn steer bullhorns, right? Longhorns. They're about 40, 42 inches from end to end, right? Not the longest in the world, not the shortest either. Somewhere in the middle of them. But we got them, I think she paid like $150 for them. But you buy the same thing over there in the Stockyards in Fort Worth, in that tourist trap area, double that easy. It'll be $300 and up all day. How do I know that? Because I priced them out. Every time I see a fucking a rack of Longhorns mounted somewhere, it's like, I want them. I check out what the price is. I'm like, it's a little bit much for me, you know? But from the same company in Fort Worth that makes that shit, if you order it directly online, it's like half the price. That's what I'm trying to say. You want to go buy a cowboy hat? You're going, you know, something you can get for $100 anywhere. It's going to be $200 there. Boots, pretty much the same deal. But if you're from out of town, you know, if not from Texas, and you want a pair of boots and cat, you know, all the, you can buy it all right there. You don't have to go looking around Texas to find it. You pay more and you go home with good stuff. It's not like it's shit or anything like that. It's just you're in a tourist area, so you pay twice as much. The eating is really good down there. I don't drink. One of the bars up the way was from the Chuck Norris TV show. Walker, Texas Ranger, right? They had their little home bar where they all hung out and drank, like, at the end of the show. Every show seemed to have a scene in the bar. Their home bar was right on that stretch. I forget what it was called. And there were some episodes of that show, actually, that had that were shot here, right down the street, you know, right between where I work and where I live, right on my commute. A bar called The Ranch House, Saxey, Texas, right? Saxey. What I understand is they shot on location there a couple of times also. I've not seen any episodes where that was the case, but that's the story as I've heard it anyhow. So that's Walker, Texas Ranger, and the Ranch House, and the Stockyards over in Fort Worth, Dickies Arena, and Dickies Work Clothes, right? But that ain't the only Dickies around here. Go figure, right? You got Dickies Barbecue Pit. It's a chain, a very old chain. It goes back since 1941, right? Barbecue joints, right? I talk about barbecue joints every once in a while. Love barbecue. Texas barbecue is mag-fucking-nificent. Love it. Love it, love it, love it. But Dickies is the closest thing, I guess you'd say, to, like, fast food Texas barbecue, right? Texas barbecue is not fast food. It's cafeteria service generally. You know, you walk up and it's like that, but it's not really fast food. But Dickies kind of is. The drive-up window and everything on most of them. And it has a low regard. You know, Texans who know their barbecue bypass Dickies typically. But there's one in every town anyway, you know. And their menu's a little bit more extensive than you would get at most barbecue joints. They sell, like, burgers and shit like that, right? The food is not bad. It's not terrible, you know. Independently owned, proprietor to proprietor, as chains tend to be. And there's going to be a variation, one Dickies barbecue pit to the next. But the food ain't bad. It's better than McDonald's. I mean, it's not even close. If you're going to compare fast food, Dickies is probably like the top of the heap. And it's not, you know, not even close, not even comparable. But as far as comparing it to other barbecue places, you'd probably want to go elsewhere generally. But yeah, you got Dickies barbecue pit right out of Dallas since 1941. Now, it's, you know, probably the other most prevalent barbecue chain, and I don't know this for a fact, but just observation driving around. You know, every town's got its Dickies. Most towns got a Soul Man's Barbecue, right? Soul Man's Barbecue. That's another Dallas institution. It comes out of the Pleasant Grove section starting in 1974, as the history goes, right? Soul Man's Barbecue. They're not fast food. They're a barbecue joint. They're legitimate. I wouldn't call them fast food. They are just present, right? In DFW, anyway. I don't know about statewide. Certainly not nationwide. You know, Dickies is kind of spread out all through the South and all around, but Soul Man's is pretty regional, but there's a lot of them around in DFW, and but they are legitimate barbecue joints. I got no gripes, you know. You go in there and you get barbecue just like you'd expect. It's just a chain that has a lot of branches, right? A lot of stops. It's pretty damn good. You know, some of them not so good, some of them really fucking great. I have no problem going there. That's Soul Man's Barbecue. Now, Dickies, you know, going back to Dickies, not only do they have a lot of restaurants around that they're very common, very familiar, not only are they very spread out, they also sell their goods in supermarkets, right? They got a line of shit you take home and make, right? And they have a line of smoked sausage that they do, a couple of variants in flavor. But I'm going to tell you what, the shit is fucking good. Their smoked sausage is really, really good, amongst the best that I've ever had. And I try them all. I try them all. I'm very familiar. I eat this stuff all the time. Dickies out of your supermarket is incredible. It's different. It's somehow different than the rest, and it's always exceptionally good. So pat on the back for that, you know. I berated a little bit for being somewhat of a fast food version of Texas barbecue. But what they produce commercially to purchase in a supermarket and bring home is very, very good. Dickies barbecue smoked sausage, right? And like I said, I know smoked sausage. I hate to say it like that. That sounds a little fucking gay-ish, but I try it all. It's like a side dish for me. I'm very carnivore in my eating habits generally over the years. One of my favorite meals is going to be fried chicken with smoked sausage. I'm pretty sure I've said that before, right? And I've talked about the fried chicken at length previously. Let's talk about some smoked sausage from here in Texas. I mean, that's another Texas thing. That's part of, you know, Texas barbecue is basically Texas smoked foods. You get that smoky flavor in foods, and that's the way we like to eat. The sausage is smoked, you get that flavor to it, generally. Like the Maverick 88, it is bottom shelf smoked sausage. Texas, nonetheless, but really, it's inexpensive, very common, any supermarket will have it. And of maybe the 5 or 10 that I may mention here today, it's the least of them all. Still edible. Right? It's edible. It's not terrible. There are worse, but it is, it's the least, you know, you got to work with it a little bit. It's better if you like fry it in a pan rather than nuke it. Anyway, any of them are, but if you want to take something that's not that great and make it better, fry it in a pan, serve it up with onions and peppers, No mustard. It's a Earl Campbell's brand. Earl Campbell's smoked sausage. It's actually made by a company called J-Bar B Foods in Wilder, Texas, right? I think that's probably down by Austin somewhere. I think Earl Campbell actually did a lot of his operations out of Austin. He went to college down there. Earl Campbell's a football player. If the name sounds familiar to you, it's because he was probably a Hall of Famer. I can't see why he wouldn't be. I don't know for a fact, but he must be. One of the greatest running backs ever, ever. Probably my favorite football player of all time, right? Earl Campbell. He was a star in the late 70s, early 80s. He went to, he's from Texas, from Tyler. He went to UT, University of Texas, in Austin. He was a Heisman Trophy winner. I think they got the national championship or something like that. I'm not positive about that. I'm not really a big college football guy. Shit, I'm not even a football guy anymore. But and they ended up as the first pick in the draft by the Houston Oilers, who sucked back then and instantly became a perennial contender, right? Playoffs. It was the Bum Phillips era and Dan Pastorini. Well, Earl Campbell was the fucking difference, right? He was a difference maker. Bruising running back, right? Big dude, fast, powerful. Yeah, kind of on the lines of like Bo Jackson, who came a little bit later. Probably more bruising than Bo Jackson was, right? Incredible. Incredible, but, you know, running back careers are very short because it's a very violent position. They take a lot of abuse. And, you know, poor Earl Campbell has suffered his entire, you know, adult life with all kinds of physical problems. The guy who was like a monster on the football field in his youth is kind of, and I hate to say it, you know, and I don't mean to poke fun at the guy at all, but he's kind of pathetic, you know, and he has been for a long time. But he went into business, you know, he's a big name in Texas and a big name around the Austin area, and he went into business making sausage, and he had difficulties with that after a few years, apparently bankruptcy issues, mismanagement issues, and somebody, and I guess it's this J-Bar B Foods company, stepped in to partner up with them and kind of kept it rolling, and, you know, they're in business. And I got to tell you, I tip it a cap, because they're able to make what they make, sell it for very cheap. And I went through a period of time a few years back where I was fucking dirt poor. I could afford to eat maybe 3 days a week, and then I would not eat for four. And on those 3 days, what I would typically do is I would get cheap fried chicken from a supermarket over here, an 8-piece, and for lunch I'd eat four of them with a Earl Campbell's sausage link, and for dinner I'd eat the other four with another sausage link of Earl Campbell's. So 3 days out of the week when I ate, that's what I ate. Those were my meals, and because that's what I could afford. I couldn't afford better stuff, you know, like Dickie's barbecue, smoked sausage. Cost almost twice as much by volume, right? It's a lot better, but when I didn't have the money and I needed to eat, Earl Campbell was right there. So hats off to you, Earl Campbell and J-Bar B Foods. Other Texas smoked sausage, and this is a good one. We my wife and I get this every once in a while. Chapel Hill sausage. They're from Houston. They've been in operation since 1968. Very good brand, you know, it's quality stuff. You're gonna pay a little bit for it, but go and do it. It's worth it, you know. Chapel Hill, our favorite is Slovacex. That's a Czechoslovakian company in a Czechoslovakian town called West Texas. It ain't out in the region of West Texas. It's down by Waco, right? I talked about Waco a couple episodes back. Just north of Waco is a town called West Texas, and it's historically, traditionally made up of Czech people, you know, C-Z-E-C-H, Czechoslovakian people. And, apparently they have a way with sausage, because what they got, what the Slovacex is a big gas station comparable to the Buc-ee's that has taken on some kind of national notoriety as of late these past couple of years. Bucky's had one or two stops along the major thoroughfares in Texas, like when I got here. And now they're just spreading out all over the place. You know, wherever you are, there's a Bucky's not too far away. That did not used to be the case, you know. And now they're actually going out to other states and shit like that. What they're known for is just being very large, having a lot of really good food, a whole lot of stuff to buy, you know, souvenir stuff, but then actually home use things. It serves as a truck stop. They've got a huge amount of filling stations, lanes. They buy in mass quantities, so their gas prices can be a little cheaper than others. And it's a business model out of Texas that works. Well, Slovacek's is a single-stop place like that in West Texas. It's not quite the size as Bucky's. It's the same thing, but it's kind of dialed down a little bit. And but the sausage that they have there is just fucking incredible, right? And like my wife and I have been known to go in there and come out with 20, 30 pounds of sausage to bring home, throw in the freezer, and eat for the next month or two, you know? We love that stuff, and it's worth the bother. Now, West Texas, you may have heard of West Texas, actually. It got some national exposure in a negative way, actually, back in the year 2013, right? 2013, there was a big explosion at a fertilizer plant on the backside of town where people died. You know, people, 15 people died. More than 160 were injured, and more than 150 buildings were damaged or destroyed. The material that exploded was ammonium nitrate, right? But that was national headlines. I remember that. I mean, obviously, I was in Texas at the time, so it was Texas headlines, but people were calling me and talking about it. You know, people don't realize how near or far I am from West Texas. Texas is fucking huge, right? I got family and friends back east. When anything fucked up happens in Texas, like I have my cousin in Canada, right? If there's like a tornado outbreak, he's always getting in touch with me to check on me. The shit will happen down in Houston, or it'll happen out in Lubbock. It won't be anywhere near DFW, but people don't realize that, you know? People don't know. Yeah, everybody knows Texas is big, but you don't know how big Texas is until you get here and start driving around in it, right? West Texas, the town, probably hour 45 minutes south of here, you know, on a drive going 75 miles an hour for the most part. Yeah, it's pretty far down away, nowhere near here. But that happened, you know, that happened in 2013. It was a big deal. That's what, you know, one of the things that West Texas is famous for. The other thing is the kolaches, right? Kolaches is a... Well, I know as a kid growing up, you know, you'd have like these events and you would break out hors d'oeuvres, right? And you were bottom shelf people, low class, lower middle class families like we were. And your hors d'oeuvres were basically what fucking Pillsbury Doughboy and shit like that. And one variety, one version of hors d'oeuvres for the common man was basically like this miniature hot dog or Vienna sausage on a little pastry, right? I don't know what the hell they're called as an hors d'oeuvre. We just called them little hot dogs. Here in Texas, they got something like that. They're a little bigger. It's called kolache. It's probably Czechoslovakian. I don't know what the actual history behind it is. I don't eat many of them anymore, but I have to today. But it's a little smoked sausage on that pastry, kind of half wrapped, sort of kind of like a small stromboli, right? And they're fucking good. But the best ones around were from West Texas, right across the street, across the highway, across I-35 from the Slovacek's filling station, the place that's comparable to the Bucky's, right? They had a little gas station that sold the kolaches over there. That was always where anybody who was traveling from Dallas to Austin or San Antonio back and forth, you would always stop at this little place in West Texas and get the kolaches there. And I was one of them, right? We did it all the time. But the kolaches is actually a big thing in Texas, right? It's a big thing. And it's smoked sausage, right? Smoked sausage. Not just a stupid fucking hot dog. Not like a ballpark Frank, you know? It's actually a little piece of smoked sausage. And they're really good, really good. I don't eat bread generally, so that's why I kind of get away from that. Other smoked sausage in Texas, Country Boys, right? We get this one kind of frequently. Country Boys, you get them in the supermarkets, like the rest of these. It's country with a K, right? Country with the K. So when you see something misspelled like that, when you see country with a K, you know it's like some serious redneck shit. And rednecks know how to seriously eat. Right? You can say anything you want about rednecks, but they know how to eat. They know how to cook. They know how to eat. So when I see country with a K, I'm seeing redneck. And when I see redneck smoked sausage, I'm thinking that's going to be fucking good. And it's made in a place called Brenham, Texas. Brenham, Texas. Where the hell is Brenham, Texas? That is between Austin and Houston, right? It's actually, dial back, all right, your memories to the 80s and 70s. Remember ZZ Top with the long beards? ZZ Top had a song called LaGrange, right? LaGrange. It was probably their biggest song, at least in the 70s. Right? It was singing about a whorehouse outside of LaGrange, Texas. Which is near Brenham, Texas, where Country Boys smoked sausage is made. And, the whorehouse is actually famous, right? The LaGrange Horse House. It was called a chicken ranch. It was in operation for a long time, and it was the whorehouse that the Best Little Whorehouse in Texas show tunes Broadway musical slash movie adaptation came from, right? The Dolly Parton movie. Was it Burt Reynolds? I don't really remember it. I think I may have seen parts. I'm not a show tunes kind of guy. Go figure, right? But the story of the Best Little Whorehouse in Texas was this place called the Chicken Ranch, which was just outside the city limits of LaGrange, Texas, right? And that's what ZZ Top was singing about. I think they were forced out of operation in 1973, so you're going back to like very early ZZ Top. They really got famous. I mean, they were famous. We knew, we listened to ZZ Top, DiGueo, all that stuff, all the 70s versions of ZZ Top, which I find better. You know, as burnout kids, we listened to that, but you know, into the middle 80s, they got MTV famous, right? They had the album, what was it, Eliminator. They had a couple songs off of that, Sharp Dress Man and Legs. You got legs, you know how to use it, right? So they got like stupid MTV international fame in that period of time. And it was like the least of their music. Their 70s stuff, in my opinion, was so much better. Just a lot grittier, more down-to-earth, ZZ Top, right? ZZ Top. So you got the Country Boys smoked sausage and Slovacek's and Chapel Hill, Earl Campbell's, Dickie's, all this Texas smoked sausage. You know, yesterday was Valentine's Day, and let me tell you, Texas smoked sausage makes a great Valentine's gift. I know. Because that is in part what I got from my wife. I got her a brand that I wasn't familiar with. I went into the supermarket and kind of looking for like a little gag gift, you know, just like talking about these, the bag of dicks, right? This is kind of a Texas style bag of dicks. I went looking for the most expensive smoked sausage I could find, and it turned out to be this party pack, right? A party pack, it's large in size, wrapped up in plastic bag, like an airtight, air vacuum plastic, like most of these sausages are done, right? And it's called Zummo's or Zummo's, Z-U-M-M-O, apostrophe S, Zummo's. And that's Texas. It's out of Beaumont, right? Beaumont, Texas. I've been through there. Beaumont, Texas is where the Big Bopper, J.P. Richardson, came from, right? He was one of the guys who died in the plane crash with Buddy Holly and Richie Valens the day the music died, right? He was from Beaumont. Yeah, I've been through there. That is very close to, well, it's in that region of Texas. It's kind of the asshole of Texas. It's in the oil refinery port, Port Arthur, where Janis Joplin came from, right? I've been through all through that area. That is like the ugly part of Texas. It's like the New Jersey part of Texas, right? You know, the Sopranos, right? The beginning of Sopranos, when they're doing the credits, the opening credits. Tony Soprano's driving around smoking a cigar. He's going up and down the New Jersey Turnpike out of New York City, comes out of the tunnel, and he heads down through Newark, goes down like as far as Linden, maybe Rahway, and then turns back up. I don't know why, you know, but I know where he is. You know, when they're showing out the window, I know when he's going through Newark. I know when he's going through Elizabeth. I know. I used to commute that fucking road up and down every day for a couple of years. And you get down by Linden, Carteret, that's, you know, New Jersey's like the asshole of the United States, but the actual asshole of New Jersey is right there. Carteret, what's it, Port Murray, Linden, they got all the oil refineries there. And a very high carcinogenic rate, like the highest in the country. Well, Texas has its version of that, and Beaumont's close to that. Port Arthur is that, and Zummo's smoked sausage comes from that area too. We're going to find out this weekend when I come off of my current fast exactly how good or bad Zummo's is, and I think we're going to do something funky with it. And I already warned my wife, you know, I got the laugh out of giving her basically a big bag of dicks for Valentine's Day, right? It's not all I got. It's one of the things I got. But I have this idea in my head, and I was talking about all these Texas deep-fried foods, right? I want to deep fry. I mean batter-covered deep fry smoked sausage with, like, onions and peppers. Put some mustard even in on the inside of it all. That's what I want to experiment with this weekend. So that's what we're looking forward to. The potential for deep-fried Texas smoked sausage, homemade, is on the radar. So look out for that. And hopefully we get to do it and I get to review how it come out, you know? So even if Zummo's sucks, and I don't think it will, it looks pretty good, you know? You can kind of tell by looking at it. Texas smoked sausage, if it looks more like a hot dog, it's probably not that great. That's Earl Campbell's kind of look like a hot dog, sort of. It's like a big fat hot dog. It ain't, but when it looks that way, it's kind of like bottom shelf smoked sausage. Zummo's looks pretty healthy. So we'll give it a whirl. So that's it. There you go. All these different dicks and sausage. This is like a girl's dream come true today, right? Shotguns? It's like fucking... All right. I'm going to let it go at all that. You can make of it what you will, but there you go. Bag of dicks. Adios.
Thank you for tuning into Post-Stalin Monologics. Please understand that this project is meant to be part of a long-term archive as a series of snapshots reflecting a distant past. We are not seeking advertisers, but may at times accept private anonymous donations to help mitigate production costs. Further information involving this project and archived releases of Post-Stalin Monologics can be accessed over the World Wide Web at poststalin.com and at onsert.com. Comments, critiques, and inquiries may be submitted to Maverick through email at maverick88@poststalin.com.